Hello. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. And so forth. Scotty, you're no longer allowed in the studio. I'm staying there.
Scotty, you revoked your privileges.
503-733-2970. That thing with the hair club for men, with that, that is a total give you the razor, sell you the blades thing. Because with the hair club for men, I mean, you know the story with that. That where it's like they glue it on, like it literally is.
I thought they grew it back in hair club for men.
No, hair club for men is where they're gluing crap onto your head.
Oh.
And I don't mean the gluing is like, I'm not being kooky. I mean, literally, they're gluing stuff onto your head. And with that, it's like a subscription plan. It's you're paying like,
one hair per month.
No, it's like you're paying like you're paying like $600 a month. That here's the thing with hair club for men. And never mind. You know, I'll talk about it later. Ladies and gentlemen, let's make way.
I am so proud of you.
Behold the new standard out cue. Ladies and gentlemen, or is it an in cue? I can never tell the two.
There's no such thing as an in cue.
Well, then it's an out cue. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A 600-pound Angus cow has been rescued from a well in Canby after it broke through a series of railroad ties. Emergency personnel responded to a call on Territorial Road and found the cow fell 24 feet into an abandoned well. Rescuers provided supplemental oxygen to the well and lowered Clackamas firefighter Steve Hazelden down to administer a tranquilizer. After the cow was sedated, he fed a lifting strap under the animal so the crane could hoist it out of the well.
All right, that is pretty cute. I don't care who you are. That's adorable.
Well, the cow was lifted out of the hole just after 2 o'clock. Within an hour, the cow fully regained consciousness. The cow was a very new addition to our family, said her owner, Bev Peltz. We haven't even named her yet. Well, here's a contest for somebody who wants to do it. We're thinking of either Miracle or, for obvious reasons, maybe Jessica, after the girl who was rescued from the well.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Jessica, we maimed a cow after you. It is the greatest honor. That's retarded.
That's really funny.
All right. Well, hey, whatever happened to that Jessica girl who fell down the well?
They have her in People magazine once every, like, 5 years. Like,
really?
Where is baby Jessica now?
She got married.
Is the front of her head all caved in?
No, she didn't. She's not very...
She's not a pretty girl.
No, she's not pretty.
She's very Midwestern, isn't she? Where was that at?
Oh, some moth-eaten town somewhere. I don't remember.
Was it Texas?
Probably one of those towns, Oklahoma, Texas,
where there's nothing to do but fall into wells. That's
you have to make your dust.
To make your own fun. What should we do tonight? It's fall into a sump hole. okay. You know what would sell? Here's a little side note. Attention, scientists. You know what would sell? Miniature cows. And when I say miniature, I don't mean like 5 feet tall instead of 10 or whatever, however big they are now. I mean literally.
Keep around the house?
No, I mean literally a cow that was like a foot long, mm-hmm. and like 8 inches high, like the size of a really large football. That would sell as a pet. Seriously, if you could have a miniature cow.
Cows smell.
Well, that's only because they're huge. If you had a dog,
yeah, have you ever ridden on the Max?
If you had
they usually sit right next to them.
If you had a dog that was 8 feet tall,
yeah, I have a little dog that
and like 12 feet long, it would smell. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you had a little miniature cow, it would smell no more than an average
dog. You could
dog.
Give it little cow baths.
How? I'm telling you, people would buy. I'd buy that. A little tiny miniature cow. I would completely buy that. So, attention,
would,
start
no.
working on that now. It would be the new craze. I'm telling you, man. The Japanese, they love that. All right, here's... we might cow for a whole family. Here's Jim Riley.
A blind man who invented curbside markers to help the blind was struck and killed while crossing the highway in the town of Glynde.
You're kidding me.
No, 47-year-old Kevin Stockton was hit by a van traveling on Highway 138 East when he was struck by a pickup. He developed blind signs, curbside markers that help blind people cross the street. Earlier this year, Roseburg completed a 2-year project to install 82 of the markers, but not so in his hometown of Glynde, where the incident occurred.
That is both Darwin-esque and ironic.
Mm-hmm.
Good God. What are curbside... Are those the things that chirp?
Tweet, 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 tweet.
Yeah. The best sound ever. Let's see. This is... What is this?
I don't know. Once it comes out of my mouth, it's too hard to put it back in.
Okay. Scotty, I don't know where that came from. Scotty's telling me that there are new Tim Sounders.
I'm honored.
Yes. Well, it's, you know, really nothing can really be with this.
This is big. I'm not going to blow this one.
Thank you. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Hollywood. The second autopsy on the body of 20-year-old Daniel Smith has been completed in the Bahamas. The coroner in the case has described the death of Anna Nicole Smith's son suspicious due to his age and sudden nature of death.
What kind of doctor can he really be in the Bahamas?
The pathologist, Dr. Cyril Reck, said the antidepressant that Smith had been prescribed did not cause his death.
Was given low dosages, would not have been sufficient to have led to a drug-related
death. What have you got to be depressed about if you're Anna Nicole? Well, other than everything. I mean, that really is the best of lives, the worst of lives.
So far, no clear cause of death for some reason.
Except for that, you've already seen that internet rumor that's around there that he was the father of the kid. You know, the great thing about the internet is that all rumors, no matter how unfounded or just horrific or just completely implausible, somehow take on this, well, who knows? Who can really rule it out? Kind of quality. So, I mean, literally, that kid had been dead for like 5 minutes when the first rumor popped up on FARC about, like, I heard he was the father of the baby. Which, I'm not saying... I'm sorry, were you trying to swallow something?
No, that's horrible.
I haven't heard that rumor. I'm not saying it's true, of course.
I've heard it on numerous occasions.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just saying his body was not even cold when I read something somewhere about, like, you know, blah, 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 rumors that he was the father of his mother's baby.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if it was Howard K. Stern's baby.
But... yeah. Well, that would explain why they're keeping it so quiet, because lawyers aren't allowed to shtup their clients, I don't think. I don't think you can do that.
Well, it's unethical, but it does happen from time to time, I would imagine.
One would imagine. All right. How many ethics can you really have if you're Anna Nicole Smith's lawyer, anyway?
Or a lawyer in general.
It's true. And seriously, and boy, she just looked like a broom with a dress hanging on it. Now, she's... That really is, she's not turning back into a pumpkin so much as she's turning into like a really thin, unpleasant zucchini. Just not even, there is now nothing about her that's attractive. There's nothing left about Anna Nicole Smith that one can find arousing in any way. It's all been taken back by the beauty deities.
Okay, let's get down to these watches and do the first one, which is a Britney watch.
Here's your Britney watch for whatever the hell this is. Monday on the Rick Emerson radio program. Genius.
Britney Spears has a tummy tuck? That is the question. Right under it are two ads for tummy tuck surgery and to locate plastic surgeons. Only $99 down.
What? What are we talking about?
Right underneath this headline.
Oh, let me see.
There's an ad offering a tummy tuck for $99.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is like a Google AdSense kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed financing for your tummy tuck surgery. Okay. Well, there you go. Where is this picture of her from? This is an undated photograph. Sarah, look at this photograph of Britney Spears. Where she's in the black trench coat, and just that's from a long time ago, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That's from a video that's 3 years ago.
That was from the video shoot that she broke her ankle at.
Uh-huh.
And this was
that's
the video.
That's like 3 years ago, like some rap video. I can't remember. Oh, it was Snoop Dogg.
Because he was all, we were speculating whether he'd hit that like the fist of an angry god.
Well, Britney Spears reportedly had a tummy tuck after the birth of her second child, reports NW Magazine. She delivered her second son at Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles just before 2 a.m. last Tuesday. According to a gossip website, PerezHilton.com, Brittany named the tot, who weighed in at a healthy 6 pounds, 11 ounces, Sutton Pierce Federline, so he could have the same initials as his older brother, Sean Preston Federline.
Aww.
The boys almost shared the same birthday. Sean Preston turned one on Thursday, just 2 days after his brother was born. The tummy tuck is a cosmetic surgery procedure to reshape and reform the abdomen. It involves the removal of excess skin and fat from the middle and lower abdomen in order to tighten the muscle and abdominal wall.
They should totally give that to some small cancer child or whatever, a burn child that needs that. You can be covered in Britney's skin.
It's not unusual for it to be sought for women after having children. Sources spilled to NW say Britney is so desperate to have her old body back she couldn't wait for the weight to drop.
It's never going
to
happen. This is the thing. You know, and that's just, you could... Look, you can paint over...
Don't use the sweater analogy again.
I know, I'm just saying, you can paint over bad wood, but that's not going to keep the garage standing. You know what I mean? Once the termites have been in there, all the paint in the world not going to keep the structural integrity of that house. So I like how she's so desperate. She's so desperate to have her body back. She'll do anything but exercise. So there you go. So apparently large sections of Britney Spears' fat and skin have been cut away. There's your headline for today.
That's your Britney watch.
There's your Britney watch for Monday.
Before you go, there's something I want you to have.
All right, Aaron notes, Rick, mini cows. What a fantastic idea. Plus, once you get tired of them, they're already taco-sized. Sign me up now. See, that's what I'm saying. Aaron, geek in the city, there you go. I know what Americans would buy. Anything big that's supposed to be small or anything small that's supposed to be big, Americans will pay triple price for. Here's Tim Riley.
John Travolta's attorney insists his client is not gay. This after a recently published photograph of Travolta showing him kissing his family's male nanny, or a manny.
What?
I have that on my website.
Yeah, it was on Sarah Dillon's website.
Hold on.
He was kissing the male nanny before flying to America to board his private jet, which sparked rumors that he has homosexual leanings.
Leanings. Let me... SarahDillon.com. Those are two women. Oh, wait, no,
I posted like a month ago.
Hold on. Oh, that's John Travolta in drag. That's close. You know, this whole website is just a cavalcade of... Wait, is this it?
There it is. Yeah.
I don't know. Where is this? What country? Did you say board it for America?
It says, before flying to America on board his private jet.
Now,
apparently this happened in Ontario, Canada.
Well, okay, now Ontario's not French, though, is it?
No.
That's Quebec.
Yeah.
So, is his male nanny an American, or is he some godless foreigner? Do we know?
It doesn't say.
Because here's the thing,
it says, yeah, the nanny is from Canada.
Okay, but no, he's not French, though, basically, is what I'm saying.
No.
Because it would be, if he was French, then that would explain it, right? Because don't French men kiss each other on the lips? Or do they?
I'm not sure. I
don't know.
I know the mafiosi.
French men.
Mafia guys do.
They might. Italians do.
Do Italian men kiss each other on the lips? That's on the cheek, I thought. I'm never clear about this, actually.
Oh, lip kissing?
This is a thing that I actually think about a lot. let me clarify. Please to let me now clarify. No, I watch The Sopranos, and I look, because, you know, there's Sopranos, the men kiss each other on the cheeks a great deal. And I think about this a lot, actually, about...
You never know when you're going to visit Jersey.
There
was a local.
when in Rome? When in New Brunswick? I actually think about this a lot when I watch The Sopranos, about what etiquette governs kissing between presumably heterosexual men. Again, like when Tony Soprano meets a guy and they'll do the kiss on the cheek, and it's like, who kisses who first? And do you kiss? Sometimes it's one cheek, sometimes it's both. I know that may seem dumb, but when I watch it, there does seem to be some sort of... There's like a set of rules that governs how straight men kiss one another on the cheeks in the Italian culture. Like I said, because sometimes it's just one cheek, sometimes it's both, sometimes it's a hug. I wonder how that works. There's got to be some sort of system there.
Well, if you're both, you're going to die.
That's the kiss of death. But the point is that this is not a the cheek kiss, though. This is like John Travolta kissing another man on the lips.
Well, according to the lawyer, it says, quote, as a manner of customary greeting and saying farewell, Mr. Travolta kisses both men and women who he considers to be extremely close friends. People who are close to Mr. Travolta are aware of this customary non-romantic gesture.
I can't think of a less pleasant thing than kissing John Travolta. Really, I mean, if I had to list all the men in the world and the order in which I would kiss them if I had to, John Travolta would be somewhere near the bottom. Here's the thing about John Travolta. I know that John Travolta was a sex symbol for many years in America. And Sarah's face right now, your face is exactly what I'm feeling about
that. No, my friend Tanea in high school had the hugest crush on him, and I've just never seen it.
I find him to be a really unpleasant-looking man. I don't find there to be anything attractive about John Travolta. Mm-hmm. Even when he was younger, like in the Sweat Hog days, I just don't...
But there was no one else on TV at that time who was a sex symbol.
But so
the Welcome Back Cotter days.
Sex symbol by default.
It was correct. It was either him or Gabe Kaplan,
or that Horseshack guy.
It was either him or Freddie Boom Boom Washington. So yeah,
half the audience doesn't know who we're talking.
No, it doesn't matter. I'm gonna close this now because I don't want to know about it. So there you go, John Travolta. And who was it? His lawyer insists he's not gay. This is like that story. What was it, a couple years ago? Where, because Tom Cruise has been proven very litigious about this in the past. Mm-hmm. Strangely, not recently, though. About threatening to sue folk who said he was gay and whatnot, or the gay, as the internet kids say. And there was a great story where Tom Cruise's lawyer said that Mr. Cruise is willing to come to court and prove that he is not gay. And it was just, everybody I know was so desperate for that to happen because I wanted to see Tom Cruise come to court and prove somehow in a court of law that he was not gay. Did we all read that great interview with, who was it, Christina Aguilera? Where she had that weird story about
dating the gay man?
I was once involved with a person who was kind of gay. It was the weirdest headline. And a story that never adequately explained it. It was this whole weird, vague news story. All right. People are sending me stories now from CNN.com that we should ask Laura Caviezel about. Here we go from CNN.com. This is from today. The headline reads, "Now Hiring Hairy Feet."
Well, that's from last week.
This claims it's September 18th. London, England. Wanted, 20 diminutive actors who can sing. Hairy feet, a distinct advantage. Oh, this is for the musical version of Lord of the Rings.
This is all stolen from London tabloids last week.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We had a long time ago.
Producers are looking for male and female actors between 16 and 35 who must be under 5'7" with hairy feet and toes. All right, let's, Scotty, next time we talk to Laura Caviezel, demand that she produce somebody who can talk about that. Tell her it's from CNN.com and we're keeping abreast of happenings in today's fast-paced world. All right, here's Jim Riley.
Well, Lindsay Lohan's attorneys are looking to a possible legal action to get after the singer-actress broke her wrist during a Fashion Week event in New York City. Lawyer's rep confirms the 20-year-old star slipped and fell while at Milk Studios.
Stumbling around drunk.
She was immediately taken to the hospital where x-rays confirmed two breaks in her wrist. Lindsay claims the studio is at fault because they failed to properly cover a stick. Oh, I'm sorry. The slick ground that she fell on.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you look at this girl's history, she has had many bruises and many sprains from supposedly slipping all the time. Like, remember when she was at Brian Adams' house and fell down the stairs?
That's a thing that everybody...
And then she was at someone else's in the shower and she fell.
Here's the thing about this. Did you notice that that story just sort of went away? And, like, do you ever do this? Do you ever want to just have, like, some sort of a pause button you can press to demand that people talk about something further? There's a lot of news, like, we talked about that famous one a couple weeks ago where they claimed to have found a 9/11 guy's passport and then they pretended it didn't happen. There's certain news stories that you can already see them being tilled underneath in the news mulch. You can already see them being gotten rid of before I feel like we've adequately had an explanation of them. This thing of her having an accident while showering at Brian Adams's house was one of those where even as it was happening, it was then already all, like, the next day, it was off the front page and no one was talking about it. And I so desperately wanted everybody just to take 3 or 4 days and discuss it. Because it was never really explained why Lindsay Lohan was showering at Brian Adams' house with another, and there was, like, another girl there. And then she, what is it, she tripped and broke something, or she...
She tripped and, like, sprained her ankle.
In the shower at the house of Brian Adams, who was 100 years old.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know more. I wanted to spend many, many days talking about why that was the case and how that came to be. And really, sadly, the rest of the culture seemed uninterested in that story. At least at the same level I was. No one really seemed to care. So,
well, this is just, hopefully, you know, she does try and take this to court so that gets rebrought, you know, back up, that she has a fairly clumsy past.
Yeah, good times. I was so, you know, when I went to L.A., I took a picture of the Chateau Marmont just because I'm a tool. And I was there, and like, there's, you know, and I'm, because I'm an idiot, you know, I'm like 33 years old, me, I'm going to take a picture of a sign. And so I'm out front with my camera taking a picture at the Chateau Marmont. And the great thing was there was like a bunch of other loser guys there, too. All men. Bunch of guys wearing, like, Dungeon Master shirts, all of us standing around front, like, you know, taking pictures. Clearly, all of us hoping to see Lindsay Lohan. That was the unspoken thing, is we were all out front hoping to see Lindsay Lohan coming or going, which didn't happen. But, yeah, she's, man, that girl's just one. And you're right when you said that she looks so much older than she is. Because how old is she, 21?
No, she's 20.
Oh, God. She's going to be, I mean, she's just going to be just a piece of leather by the time she's 30. That girl is aging really, really quickly. So, all right, well, there you go. We have more sound on that?
About what?
Well, never mind then. I guess that's a no.
Do you have the story on Lindsay Lohan's mom?
I might in here, but I'm not sure.
I'll print it up.
We'll have to move through
gold.
The news. Oh, it's yeah. I scanned it. We'll have that later. Okay, well, let's break it. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero and so forth. You stare at the Rick Emerson radio program live on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. It's Monday. Coming up later on, Ed McCarthy about... Do we have this story about the girl in the hole? Not Jessica, but the girl in the...
Hole?
The,
what
do you...
Somewhere.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking to Ed McCarthy about.
The size 14 girl?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we'll do that later on. What else? Got the Week in Geek coming up later on as well. It's 503-733-2... 970. Rick, I think you protest too much about John Travolta. Could he be your mantissy? No, he's not. Thank you. When did we start prefixing all of the word like man? There's what Manny and there's what I heard another one the other day. There was Manny, which was like a male nanny, and there was meh. I forget what it was. There was something up, but that's become a thing that ever. That's one of those things that you read about in like Vogue or something, where they start sticking the word man in front of everything. Ladies and gentlemen, let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program our good friend, the original Harry Scary Guy, host of the Ground Zero Lounge at Dante's, Clyde Lewis. How are you, sir?
Doing well. So we have a lot of topics today. You have A, the ISS is on fire. B, U.S. Capitol's on lockdown. Or C, the Pope made a big mistake.
Is it the space station?
Yeah.
Is this the one that they keep? You know, we had this story. We had 2 days in a row last week where the guys who were on the space station were out fixing it, and then they just lost a bunch of parts.
Yeah.
While they were... No, but here's the best part about it. We had it on, like, Tuesday where they were like, so, and you could hear these old, like, we're missing a bolt. The bolts are gone. Where they were working on the space station. And then they just forgot where they put everything.
Right.
And then they put it back together and they had spare... First of all, when you're assembling, like putting a toaster back together, you're not supposed to have extra parts left over. That means you've done something wrong. And then, you know, you're supposed to remember where you put those extra parts, so when you figure out where they go, you can sort of reassemble them.
Right.
As somebody noted, Tuesday and Wednesday, 2 days in a row, while fixing various things on the apparently ill-designed space station, they just lost stuff. Now, it's one thing when you're working at home and you lose stuff because it rolls away or whatever. As somebody noted to me, you know, when you drop something in space, it doesn't float away. It just hangs there. There's no wind. There's no gravity. There's no force of any kind. When you drop a bolt in space, it stays right where it drops. It doesn't move. You have to work really, really hard to lose stuff in space. And yet, apparently they did it 2 days in a row.
Yes.
So now it's on fire.
Well, they said that there was smoke, but no reason to be scared.
Apparently the smoke detector went off. And I'm not making this up. This is the headline now from Metro.
Somebody left the popcorn on for a little too long.
Exactly. Somebody left the Red Baron cooking.
Yeah.
Smoke detector goes off aboard space. That's got to be a singularly unnerving sensation, by the way. There's really no way to stop, drop, and roll when you're in zero gravity.
Exactly.
All right. So
and we're going to the moon in 2014.
Yeah. Sure we are.
So it's going to take at least that long to figure out.
There you go.
Okay, now, second thing. What else did I say?
The Pope.
Pope put his foot right in it with the Muslims over the weekend. And they're an excitable people anyway. You'd think you'd learn to speak softly.
Yeah, it's like you don't tell Nazi jokes at a Jewish gathering. You don't talk about Byzantine emperors who don't like Muslims at a gathering. In Reagansburg,
And the best part is that he spent the whole weekend refusing to actually apologize. That's the true Catholic attitude for you. They're the whole, well, we're sorry, but we're not actually going to apologize in person.
Didn't they say that they were sorry for Copernicus or for Galileo, like what, in 1981?
And I believe like 4 years ago, the Catholics finally came around to saying that they were sorry for all of their anti-Semitic remarks during the Holocaust.
Yeah.
So they're a real forward-thinking people,
the
Catholics.
We'll get back to you, but what I want to say, though, is that tonight at Dante's, I'm going to be focusing on what triggers this type of thing. Where, I mean, it's not just the Pope, but Rosie O'Donnell said some things, too, prior to the Pope's comments. And we have also our good buddy Pat Robertson, who says a lot of stupid things. So what you're going to see is tonight I have visuals of a cavalcade of stupid comments made by religious figures that are really, really getting on people's nerves. And it's because of the fact that we have changed, I mean, the news organizations now are allowing the idea of eschatology to creep into news stories. And I'm going to be pointing that out. Eschatology, of course, is end of the world psychology that goes on in religion.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be showing that. It's going to be really creepy to watch, because when you're seeing Paula Zahn with a big smile on her face, all blonde and pretty, talking about death, destruction, and beasts coming out of the ocean to devour people.
Beef coming out of the ocean?
Oh, yeah. She talks about the beasts of the apocalypse that out of the oceans and to eat people, and also the Antichrist, all that. It's kind of like you're watching a bad...
I must have missed Paula Zahn that night.
Well, I've got it. You got to watch this. It's like watching a bad episode of Left Behind. And so we're going to be seeing a lot of that tonight. I'll be showing that. Also, I'll be showing the report on the Pope. Also, we have Rosie O'Donnell's comments.
What did Rosie O'Donnell say?
Oh, Rosie O'Donnell was on The View. And she was talking with all the women, you know, they were all basically talking, and all of a sudden they started talking about religion, and they're talking about the Muslim ideology and how it's spreading like a cancer and everything. And Rosie O'Donnell had said something like, well, you know, radical Christianity is hard on this country as well. And immediately the audience applauded, but the women all on the view, all just got irate with her and just attacked her. And then a lot of religious organizations now are asking for Rosie O'Donnell to make an apology. So both the Pope and Rosie O'Donnell have to make apologies.
It's funny. I actually get. So I don't know who signed me up for this, but you know, when you have any kind of a public email or anything like that, and you all probably know this, you find yourself people think it's a hoot to sign you up for all kinds of bizarre newsletters.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get. Really, I mean, a sample, just looking through my inbox on a daily basis, I am subscribed to the weirdest newsletters just because people think it's hilarious to go there and, let's sign him up for, like, Slug Enthusiast Weekly or whatever, just all kinds of bizarre publications. And I've told the story about how when I lived in Washington, there was this guy named Kurt who was this neo-Nazi who lived in Idaho who signed me up for a whole bunch of white power literature.
Right.
And so, like, once a week, the secretary would come back and, here's your mail and here's your packages. Rick, here's your white Aryan resistance newsletter, you know. Just, I still got them at home. They're hilarious, as only really badly written redneck propaganda is. But I'm somehow on the mailing list from Ken Bellman, who's the GOP chairman, and the latest issue of the GOP newsletter is all about Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all about taking... And it's an awkward situation when I find myself on the same side as Rosie O'Donnell.
But when are you going to talk to your CNN people?
I don't know, the top of the hour, I think.
Ask them about whether or not the Muslim clerics have now asked for all Muslims to leave Washington and New York. I don't know if you've known about this. This is kind of a news story they're not talking about. But it's actually happening. Ever since the Pope's comments, they're now ordering a lot of the Muslim clerics, and people are now saying, get out of the United States now.
Yeah.
And so they're saying, and not only that, but we have a number of things going on as well. You need to take a look at what's going on in the news. First of all, Bush... was supposed to meet with the Iranian leader, and he refused to meet.
Is there something wrong with your phone? Your phone is making a lot of loud plastic clattering sounds.
Oh, it's probably because I'm eating. I'm in the middle of lunch right now. I had to take a lunch quick to get on the phone with you. So
checking. Okay.
It's me eating my nuts and bolts.
Okay.
Anyway, he was supposed to meet with the Iranian president at the UN, and he declined. I mean, our president declined the meeting, and then he sends Laura on TV this morning to respond to the Iranian president as to why he's not meeting with him, which, of course, is an insult to these men here, because he's sending his wife to do his job. And so I know that sounds bad coming out of it, because we're Americans, and it's okay if wives speak for us. But in the international world, it's not okay. And so what he's basically done is there's an international incident that's happened now, and then we have the Catholic situation going on. We have the Rosie O'Donnell situation going on, and pretty soon something's going to go boom, and I'm waiting for it right now.
Really? And you would think, and I understand that this is a long time ago, and it was a passing thing, but you would think if you were a Pope who had been in the Hitler Youth, you would learn to filter yourself a little more carefully.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were going around talking about what is it that you don't do? You don't ask the question, you know, why Hitler committed suicide. Because he got his gas bill. You don't do that. You don't tell that joke.
Okay.
You don't tell that joke.
That's an awful thing to say. Well, why would you say that?
Because that's the equivalent of what the Pope did when he was speaking at that
that's
college.
That's a terrible thing to say.
But it's the equivalent. I mean,
no, it's well, I am amazed. Look, I got to tell you, I am amazed.
Don't do that.
I am amazed that the Pope got whatever it is installed or confirmed or whatever. When I mean, it's like in his past that he was in the Hitler Youth. It's just like you talk about a PR problem.
Yeah.
That really seems unmanageable. So,
well, I mean, you know, if you follow anything that I've talked about at Ground Zero,
Jesus.
You know why they voted him in, and you know why it happened.
It's because he's a reptile, isn't it?
No.
Come on.
They're all reptiles, every goddamn one of them. But in the meantime...
That's what I'm talking about. That's the Clyde Lewis we love.
Yeah, well, it's a matter of bloodlines, it's a matter of families, it's the Habsburgs, it's the Nazis, it's the Windsors, it's the Merovingian bloodlines, it's all about that Merovingian reptilian bloodline. The blood of the reptiles flows through the body of the leader of the free world.
Scotty, pleased to be excerpting that. Thank you. All right. Every week there's one fantastic phrase that's uttered, and it's that one right there. The blood of the reptiles runs through the leader of the free world. All right. Clyde Lewis, it happens at 8 o'clock tonight?
Yes, his pulse is low, by the way. Have you ever checked out what Bush's pulse is? It's like... It's
how would I do that?
Normal. So you go ahead and type it into Google, say, ask what Bush's pulse is, and it says his pulse is below normal, kind of like for cold-blooded reptiles.
That seems reputable. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, ClydeLewis.com, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, sir.
8 o'clock tonight. We're going to be there. It's going to be great.
There you go, brother. All right, there you go. All right. Just going to give it back to you. There didn't really seem to be any chance to use those sound bites, Tim. We seem to have gotten a little sidetracked early on in that one.
No.
Good God almighty. All right, here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk.
Well, I'll tell you about this little excitement aboard the Space Shuttle Atlantis. NASA says that smoke detector was triggered after the smell was generated by an experiment being conducted aboard the ISS. The voice of Mission Control assured all concerned that the situation was under control.
Uh-huh. Now in a stable situation on board the complex, after an unpleasant smell and possible toxic liquid released from the electron oxygen generation system.
Is she making his stuff up? That's like
she's a million miles away.
Yeah.
Must know.
She sounds very calm because it doesn't affect her in any way. The story actually said that they were just, I don't know, just sitting around or doing whatever, and then they're watching television or whatever it is you do on the International Space Station when the smoke alarm went off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be a special kind of terror right there. All right.
The crew put on surgical masks and rubber gloves and shut down the station's ventilation system to prevent the fumes from spreading. The leak was quickly cleaned up to prepare for the arrival of three people from Russia. We know how sparkling clean it has to be for them.
Okay.
Meanwhile, astronaut Jeff Williams asked Mission Control to call his family and tell them not to be worried.
Yeah, don't wait up.
They find out that way and not another way.
And Jeff, that has already been taken care of.
Thank you, Jeff. Your unintelligible statement will be passed along to your family so they can puzzle
over.
Tell
my wife I love her very much. She knows.
Well, that's 2 points, Tim Riley. Well done. Moy, that's you and Lisa Goddard making that Connie Chung reference in one day. It's a good day to be us. Best show ever. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Time to launch the first Muslim into outer space. And she just happens to be a woman. Yes, the first native of Iran to go into space. She's Iran's first astronaut. She's been blasted off aboard a Russian rocket, and she's heading toward the International Space Station. Let's get that smoke detector fixed.
This really is like a kooky sitcom just waiting to happen.
It really is.
She's an Iranian Muslim. They're Soviets on a space station, and they're all orbiting the Earth. Plus, it's on fire. There you go. All you need is like a neighbor who pops in from next door that has a lot of gaudy jewelry.
Her name is Anusha Asari. Uh-huh. She says she hopes to be an ambassador for the ordinary people of America and Iran, whose governments are at odds over the nuclear ambitions of her home country.
I hope that this shows that the people can be separated from the politics.
Okay, thank you.
By the way, she's a millionaire businesswoman. She paid $20 million.
Oh, she's just like you and I, in other words. She's a common, ordinary folk.
Meanwhile, U.S. Relations with the United Arab Emirates could face another challenge amid a suit That charges that Gulf State's vice president with enslaving tens of thousands of children. 30,000 boys as young as 2 years old have been stolen from their families, trafficked across international borders, and kept in brutal camel racing camps, forced to train camels and perform as camel jockeys.
Sorry?
It's a real news story. Children are being kidnapped and trained camels and trained as camel jockeys. 30,000 of them.
In camel racing camps?
Yes.
I think CNN, 60 Minutes has missed this at some point in the past. This isn't really a... I was all prepared with a lot of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom jokes, too. Now they're not going to work. See you in hell, Cully. Well, I'll be goddamned. That's exactly what it says.
Yeah, I don't make these things up.
United. Here's the thing. The United Arab Emirates. Is that singular? Is that one country?
That is one country.
Wait, okay. I don't know about you.
But it's just a clever name. But Arab that's, country. That, all the good ones were taken.
That's what I'm saying. When I was a kid... in school, the United Arab Emirates made me angry because it didn't say, because it's a non-state, because it's a confusing name for a country.
Yeah.
All the other countries are like Russia, you know, you know, America, Canada, Mexico. And then they're called the United Arab Emirates. It just doesn't...
What to show they're friends with everyone.
First of all, what is an emirate? Does anybody know?
It's like a state.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. So it's like the United States.
I think we had this conversation before.
Probably. But, you know, who's to say? My brain is made of Teflon. This stuff just slips right out. Could face another challenge with charges that... See, look, I understand that we have many problems in this country, and I understand that there's a certain
A little
level...
girl was just buried in a hole.
What?
A little girl was held in a hole underground for a few days.
Okay, no, that's what I'm saying. There are problems in this country. We have problems right here in River City. Our government is not without corruption.
And a West Nile dead crow was found in Beaverton.
Our vice president shot a guy in the face. I understand that there are issues. But, you know, let's all just be glad for small mercies. And among them is that we have never read this story in our country. The vice president has been in charge with enslaving tens of thousands of children. I mean, that's still to come. That's, you know, I'm
it
not ruling
going
out for the future.
We might not know.
It is true. I guess we can't definitively rule it out.
Prisons everywhere.
Stealing the children to raise them. Listen to this. Boys have been stolen from their families and kept in brutal camel racing camps.
Mm-hmm.
Forced to train camels and perform as camel jockeys.
Now, who knows how tough it might be to train a camel?
You know, it's a...
And what would they be trained to do?
Look at... That's a fair question. It's days like this when you know that Phil Hendry must just sit at home and rue the fact that he retired.
What is a camel capable of doing after intense training?
I suppose that depends on how well the training is done. My internal barometer is
Are
telling me that we should...
Are children the best trainers of camels?
We should move away from the story now, and... What we're going to do is we're going to cease talking about that right now. Just going to steer us right back onto the highway from this off-ramp. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Steamer. Can I just tell you this?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just tell you. I was when I was at the airport on my ill-fated trip from L.A., I was behind a man named Ted Bell in Los Angeles. It was so fantastic. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Time for another Dead Kennedy on the Snuff Watch.
Dead Kennedy. I should have made a special version of this with the Dick Kennedys. Whatever happened to the Dry County Crooks version of this? We used to have that somewhere. I don't know where it went. Here's your snuff watch for Monday, Rick Emerson Show.
Patricia Kennedy Lawford, the sister of JFK and the wife of English actor Peter Lawford, one of the good Kennedys, who tirelessly supported the political campaigns of her brothers, died Sunday at the age of 82.
See, you thought she was younger. I thought she was already dead.
Mm-hmm. Well, we always think of those pictures of the 1960s when we think of Kennedys.
Every time I picture, yeah, see, that's Patricia Lawford, I just, she's one of those people that just, because she belongs to that sort of bygone, well, here's a dumb question. Here's something I don't know. Is Jackie Onassis dead?
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, I didn't know.
Yeah.
It's just what... I have no notion...
She died before JFK Jr. did.
Really?
Yeah.
What did she die? Just old age, or...?
She had something. I can't remember what it was.
A bottle in her hand. Because those people all belong to such a bygone era, to me, it's like they're all dead in my head. I think the only Rat Pack member who's still alive is Joey Bishop. I think he's the only one. And Shirley MacLaine, if you count her. But I just... None of them exist on my mental radar because, again, it's just such an era that is so firmly in the past. So I always...
It was the golden age of being Catholic and naughty.
I always figure they're all dead. And plus, Peter Lawford, he's been dead a long time. Didn't Peter Lawford die, like, in the 70s?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a guy, man. He just...
It was 99% alcohol.
No. No, he blown it up like a radio station inflatable, man. By the time I saw a movie, there's a movie that Peter Lawford did, and I'm trying to remember what it was. And here's a mark of how Peter Lawford, who is a member of the Rat Pack, he was married to a... Were they divorced?
I don't remember.
Catholics don't divorce, though, do they? I mean, not Kennedy Catholics.
No, except for Joan and Teddy. They were the first ones.
That's true. So, anyway, but here's... I don't know whether he was still with Patricia. It seems unlikely, because it seems like she would have, like, forced him to stay in better shape. But at the end of his life, the last movie I ever saw Peter Lawford in, and again, he was a member of the Rat Pack. He was in Ocean's 11. He was, if not legendary in the same way as Frank and Dean, I mean, he was still, you know, very famous in his own way and in his own time. The last thing I ever saw Peter Lawford in was a movie that was on Mystery Science Theater 3000. That, and I forget what it was, but he had some role. His the only scene, it required him to sit by a swimming pool and say something like, you know, yeah, that'll teach him. And like, that was it. And just huge. Like, you could hear just the sort of sloughing, squishing noises that his body made as he moved it from side to side in his pool lounger. It was so terrible. It was so bad. And you could just see, like, just behind his eyes, just a whole lot of, God damn it, why did he have to stay at Bing's house? That was it, man. You could just hear it in his head. So, Peter Lawford, dead. And now Patricia Kennedy Lawford, dead.
She was admired for her great style, her love and support for the art, and her wit and generosity.
And for having lots of sex with Frank Sinatra when Peter wasn't around.
We grieve her loss.
Allegedly. There you go. Snuffwatch, dead. There you go. He's still love, and I know that they love Teddy Kennedy, but I mean, is that a thing that is going to die out when all of the sort of golden age Kennedys die out? Like when Teddy Kennedy is the last real Kennedy left, right?
Well, don't forget he has kids too.
But that's what I mean. But I mean,
who are in politics back there also?
But is it the same? I mean, people don't feel the same about the kids as they do about like the first generation of Kennedys, or the ones we all remember, like Bobby and Jack.
I don't know. You know, the newspapers back there have Kennedy stories every day that we don't see.
I guess. I just wonder if being like one of the kids of a Kennedy, I just wonder if that's being like, I don't know, is that like being Paul McCartney's kid and being in a band? It's like, that's one of those things. It's like being, isn't that being like Julian Lennon a little bit? It's sort of the same. So
one of the Kennedys is supposed to appear here for some green celebration of some sort.
Doing something.
And it costs like $50 to see him.
That's got
to
be a real mixed blessing, being born into that family. Because it's like, I mean, it's just really, what can you do except go into politics, you know, in that? Because you can't...
What drag haven't you done by the age of 9?
That whole family is like one big less than zero. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, tonight's the start of the brand new TV season on television.
Let's talk about Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, shall we?
It's got 4 stars right here.
It is fantastic.
Sorkin's new show about showbiz. It is relatable to all.
Yeah, 4 stars USA Today gave it. Carlin is going to be on with us later. He'll talk about it. I saw the pilot. The pilot isn't flawless, but that's just because it's a pilot. And pilots, their job is not to, their job isn't even really to be good. The job of pilot is just to introduce everybody and tell you, like, here's our cast of characters, here's where they work, go! And then with the second week, that's when it really kicks in. But the pilot, man, it's, you know, there's just no mistaking, like, I would take the Pepsi challenge with that dialogue. It is no mistaking the writing of Aaron Sorkin when you hear it. It is just, it's so good, and especially working in entertainment, that's why I love Sports Night so much. Working in entertainment, it is always great to see a guy write about the entertainment world in a way that seems very real. So I would strongly encourage you to watch Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip tonight. It is at, what, 10?
10.
10 o'clock on NBC?
NBC, yes.
NBC, because NBC needs something, because they're just getting their asses beaten relentlessly by CBS, I might add. So, so you really ought to watch that.
And I'm looking at under these listings, I guess the CW network and MyNet are both on the air now.
Is that tonight that the CW network launches?
I don't know. I haven't heard any publicity about it. But it's listed in USA Today as CW, and the other one is MyNet, whatever they are.
I have no idea what MyNet is. CW is the thing that... It was UPN and WB merging or something?
No, it's CW.
Are there any programs on there that anybody watches?
Seventh Heaven?
I thought that was gone. I thought they canceled that.
ET presents the CW, the launch of a new network. That's on at 9.
Okay.
So the big deal is they're launching tonight.
All right.
And see, but mind that, I don't know what that's supposed to be.
I don't know.
Leftover garbage nobody else wants.
Sometimes when you turn on TiVo, TiVo will give you this update, and it will say, you have experienced a lineup change. And it's where, like, the you know, whatever, you get 500 channels. Mm-hmm. And you say, you know, there has been a change to your lineup. Click here for details. And you'll click, and TiVo will tell you that you no longer get some network that you, like, never knew you got in the first place. It'll be some, what's this? It's the TX network. Well, what's that? I don't know. And it's just some network that apparently I've had all along. You know what I find, like, we've talked a lot about it, trying to catch up with our cultural literacy. Because you got to lend me scrubs when you're done with that, by the way. Because you know what? I finally watched, I watched some Grey's Anatomy over the weekend. Boy, that's a show that the flavor burns out of really quickly. You get about four episodes in, you never need to see that again. That's just, I don't know that they need to bust on the show if anybody's a big fan of it. It's a competently done program. But man, you see about four episodes of Grey's Anatomy, you've seen every episode you ever need to see.
Everything is written to peak early now.
That's, you're really right about that. Do we have to break?
Yeah.
All right.
We got one more soundbite, though. And it's somebody everybody likes.
Let's wait and do it after the break.
Well, all right.
But I won't like it. All right. Oh, and we got a breakdown of the male on male kissing, if you're Italian. All right. Aaron sent that to us. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We come back. We'll have this one mystery tantalizing soundbite. Ed McCarthy will be here to talk about the girl in a hole. Week in Geek. Later on, other stuff. Screw it. Here's Dio. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.